Cracking the Bible Code by Robert C. Newman. Brief abstract of our talk. A response to the claim that God has hidden messages about the future in a letter-skipping code in the text of the Hebrew Bible, that is the Old Testament. We suggest that the phenomenon discovered, as exemplified in Drosnin's Bible Code, is actually the result of a combination of chance and human manipulation. In recent years, several Israeli rabbis and mathematicians have been investigating the idea that the Bible in Hebrew contains code words hidden in its text. These coded words are claimed to validate the Bible's divine authorship, confirm the rabbinic understanding of the Bible, and give us information about the future, especially about Israel and the end of the age. Recently, some of this material has been published for lay readers by Michael Drosnin in his book, The Bible Code. What is this code? Well, using computers to search the Hebrew text, the investigators look for hidden words that are spelled by letters spaced at equal distances in the text. In some cases, the letters are adjacent, but in that case, they're not in code. In other cases, these letters are many letters apart. So you say the first letter occurs here, and then five letters later, this is the second letter of the code, and then five later, this is the third letter, etc. So you're doing a five-letter skip, if you like. In some cases, these letters are thousands of letters apart. An example, Michael Drosnin finds the name of former Israeli Prime Minister Yitzhak Rabin in the Hebrew text. In close proximity to Rabin's name is the phrase, assassin will assassinate. And Rabin was assassinated. Also, in close proximity, is the year Rabin was killed and the assassin's name. Well, in spite of this impressive success and several others, some of Drosnin's finds are predictions that have failed, particularly those he announces before they happen, like the assassination of Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. What are we to make of this? The proposed Bible code, like the claim that the gospel message is displayed in the stars, is attractive to many Bible believers. Obviously, God is capable of doing something of the sort, should he choose to do so. The question is, do we have any good evidence that God has chosen to do so? That's what we wish to examine here. We started with biblical problems for the Bible code. There are good biblical reasons for thinking that this is not God's work. One of these is failed predictions, and another is that these codes are only short words or phrases. Let's have a look at each of these briefly. Failed predictions. The Bible does not make much provision for true prophecy that doesn't come true. Deuteronomy 18 indicates that failed prophecy is a mark of false prophets. This is also characteristic of biblical teaching elsewhere, for instance, in 1 Kings 22, or in Isaiah 42 through 46, or in Jeremiah 28. The book of Jonah admittedly does allow that a disaster prophecy might be postponed if the people repent. And presumably the same thing might happen with a prophecy of blessing if the recipients became arrogant. However, I would not want to make any large use of this sort of qualification, given the Bible's emphasis on God's foreknowledge, God's control of history, and fulfilled prophecy as evidence of God at work. In any case, the Bible code failed in its prediction of the assassination of Benjamin Netanyahu, and there is no evidence of his repentance. The second problem is only short words or phrases. The hidden messages in the Bible code are virtually single words or short phrases. These are naturally rather ambiguous, and there is no context to help us understand what they're about. This is not typical of biblical prophecies, which are rarely short and are generally given in both a literary and historical context. There's a serious problem here. How do we know we found all the words necessary to understand the prophecy? When some of the Bible code prophecies did not come true, Drosnin found the word delayed in the vicinity of some of them. Well, What good is prophecy for warning or for guidance if we later find the word not nearby? This resembles the work of astrologers and modern-day occult prophets rather than the work of the God of the Bible. We suggest an alternative explanation. If this is not God's work, whose is it? Well, neither humans nor angels, whether good or bad, can tell the future with consistent accuracy. There's no reason to think the biblical text has been modified since it was first written. I suggest that the Bible code phenomena are just a combination of chance and human manipulation. What do we mean? Well, by human manipulation, I am not claiming that Drosnin and his associates and others doing this sort of work have changed the Bible text to make it work. Rather, that they found the primary code word, which in the Bible code is usually displayed vertically on their diagrams, and then the secondary prophetic code words, which function as its context, by searching the text using the various fixed spacings between letters. With a long enough text and not too long a search word, one is bound to find nearly any code word suggested or some suitable abbreviation or synonym. Around this prime code word, a context is displayed in their diagrams, typically some 700 to 1500 characters. This is not always the real context, though, because each line may be hundreds or thousands of letters away, depending on what the skip is for the primary code word. Each line may be hundreds or thousands of letters away from the line above or below. So the question is, can we find some word or words hidden in this array of 700 to 1500 characters, which seem to relate to the prime word in some predictive way, even without supernatural intervention? I believe we can, by a combination of chance and manipulation. Let's look at the chances first. The chance of finding these code words is enormously increased by several techniques employed in the Bible code. For one thing, they remove the spacing between words. So then you can get a running count all through the Bible of which letter this is from the beginning. Huh? Then they remove the vowel supplied in the Hebrew text. In our Hebrew text, as we read it today, we've got vowels, which are called typically called vowel points because they're often dots, above and below the letters, etc. And these vowels were apparently not in the original text, although some of them in the form of vowel letters were. We're not going to get into the complexity there, but they remove the vowel supplied by the Hebrew text, which means you get a whole lot more text and fewer letters. And then a third thing to recall, particularly in regard to all the dates that are obtained, is recall that the ancient Hebrew used all of its letters in its number system, unlike our modern languages that use the Latin alphabet, Roman alphabet, where we have a separate set of symbols for numbers, the Arabic, Hindu Arabic numerals. Ancient Hebrew used its own letters, the alphabet, for its number system. So Aleph is 1 and Bet is 2 and such. Now, most of you listening to this talk or watching this PowerPoint are Hebrew challenged. I'm Hebrew challenged as well. I have had a couple of years of Hebrew back in seminary ages ago and have used it off and on along the way, but I certainly can't speak Hebrew and would have considerable trouble following someone speaking Hebrew or even reading signs without help of a Hebrew dictionary, etc. Well, not being fluent in ancient or modern Hebrew puts us at a serious disadvantage to the guys who are proposing this sort of material. We have no idea what else the letters may spell. So, let's try to do the same thing with a text in English. If we can't do it, then that may be an indication that there's something really supernatural here. If we can do it, and there's text, is a sort of text that gives us no reason to believe it's a supernatural itself, then we will be able to suspect that we're looking at chance, huh? Let's try to do the same thing with a text in English. We could use the Declaration of Independence or the U.S. Constitution or the Gettysburg Address or something from Shakespeare. I chose Lincoln's Gettysburg Address. I removed all the spaces, punctuation, and vowels and made all the letters into caps. And we wind up a resultant text with an alphabet of 21 letters. We pulled out the five vowels. And a length of almost exactly 700 characters. After a few hours trying to search this for space text visually, which turned out to be very tedious and not very effective, I wrote a program, a computer program, to do the hard work automatically, called the program Decode. The program reads in whatever text we're asking it to search, as we supply a file with the text in it, and then it asks us to supply a search word. The program then searches the whole text for all occurrences of the search word at all possible spacings and reports the result. To search for the word spelled backwards the way I wrote the program, you just enter the search word in reverse and do the thing again. Okay, well, here's what the Gettysburg Address looks like in all caps with no spaces, and in this particular case, I have broken the line so that we have a line length of 66 letters. So we get this for approximately 700-letter text. In the middle of it, we find vertically Lincoln spelled phonetically, L-N-C-N, okay, no vowels. Above Lincoln are Civil War and Battlefield. Both to the left and right of Lincoln is General R. Lee. G-N-R-L, G-N-R-L. Notice these are all at somewhat different spacing. Civil War and Battlefield are at no skips. And the other two, General Lee's, are at different amounts of skips. Below the R. Lee is General G. Meade, G-M-D. And to the lower right is Abraham, R, B-R-H-M. Naturally, all of these are spelled without vowels. That's the way we put the whole text together, huh? So we get L-N-C-N, C-V-L-W-R, B-T-T-L-F-L-D, G-N-R-L, G-M-D, and B-R-H-M. The two longest words, Civil War and Battlefield, five letters and seven letters, are actually a part of Lincoln's speech, not code, so their appearance is not particularly surprising. Of course, the same can be said for Drosnin's assassin that will assassinate that he has with Rabin. That's found in Deuteronomy 4:42, a part of the regulation for fleeing to a city of refuge by a killer that has killed. That's the standard translation of that same Hebrew. Well, for my Gettysburg Address case, I was disappointed not to be able to find the exact spelling of Lincoln, L-N-C-L-N, in our text. But this was due to the shortness of the text, as we'll see in a bit. The Bible code faces no such problem, having the whole text of the Hebrew Bible, that is the Old Testament, to search, which is far longer. We need to think about probabilities, because it's important that we think through the probabilities or expectations involved in what we found in our search of the Gettysburg Address. With a 21-letter alphabet and a 700-letter text, then, ignoring the fact that the letters occur with different frequencies, the chance of a particular letter will occur is 700, the length of the text, divided by 21, the number of different letters in the alphabet, which is about 33. We should expect about 33 occurrences of a given letter in our text, on average. For a two-letter search word, either letter can occur in any order at any, and either order at any spacing, so the probability is about 33 times 33, that is 1,089. That doesn't sound like a probability to you. Think of it as an expectation value. We can expect about 1,089 two-letter word combinations for a given two-letter search word in our text. For search words of three letters or more, the rule that the code words appear with equidistant spacing makes the matches much rarer. The first two can be in any order, any distance, so 1089, but the third letter must be exactly the same distance from the second as the second is from the first, so the expected number is 1089 divided by 21, the chance that in the third position, you'll have the exact letter you need. And 1089 divided by 21 is about 52. So they would expect about 52 occurrences of a given three-letter combination we suggest out of our 700-word text. For a four-letter search word, the result is divided by 21. Again, we get about 2.5. In general, the probability or expected number n of occurrences of a search word of length little n in a text T, using the alphabet of A letters, is n for a length n, is t squared divided by a to the nth power, where n is 2 or more. So what are the probabilities going to be for the Hebrew Bible? Well, now we apply the same reasoning to the Hebrew alphabet, which has actually got 22 letters, and we can make this chart. Word length in letters on the left, and the number we can expect in a 700-letter text on the right. Well, with one letter length, choosing a particular letter, we can expect about 32 of those in the text. For a two-letter word, either order or any spacing, we can expect about 1,010 in a 700-letter text. For three, it drops back again, as we saw, but now it comes down to about 46. For four, we can expect about 2. For five, we can only expect about 0.095. That is about one-tenth of a chance of getting a particular combination in our text. For six, 4.3 times 10 to the minus 3, that's about a little over 4 chances in 1,000. For a 7-letter word, about 2 chances in 10,000. For an 8-letter word, a little under 9 chances in 1,000,000. So that's the way it would go and go down further if we went with longer words. We'll stop at 8. Well, probabilities for the Hebrew Bible then. Our English text, the Gettysburg Address, had 700 letters. That actually turns out to be a good estimate for the number of letters per page in a Hebrew Bible I had some years ago, which has virtually no footnotes. In this Bible, the book of Genesis took up 84 pages, the Pentateuch 335 pages, and the whole Old Testament 1,360 pages. Well, since the number of expected matches for two-letter and longer combinations increases with the square of the text length, a calculation of the number of pages squared would also be helpful. So here we have it. For Genesis, with 84 pages and 58,800 letters, the number of pages squared is 7,056. For the Pentateuch, with 335 pages and 234,500 letters, pages squared is 1.12 times 10 to the fifth. And for the Old Testament, with 1,360 pages, or 952,000 letters, nearly 1,000,000 letters, 1.85 times 10 to the 6 pages squared. From a previous panel, we saw that the expected matches for a 7-letter word per 700-letter page, was 2 times 10 to the minus 4th. The squared length of Genesis is about 7 times 10 to the 3rd. So if we multiply those together, that's the chance of finding a given 7-letter word in Genesis, and we get 2 times 7, 14, 10 to the 4th, minus 4 times 10 to the 3rd is 10 to the minus 1, and 14 times 10 to the minus 1 is 1.4, so we get 1.4, and that means expectation value is 1.4. We should typically find 7-letter matches in Genesis. We pick a given 7-letter combination. We should, on average, we're ignoring the different frequencies of the letters, find 1.4 of these in our text. Okay. For 8-letter matches, we'd probably need the Pentateuch to search, the whole first 5 books, or even the whole Old Testament. Indeed, Drosnin notes that the 8-letter combination for Yitzhak Rabin, with the vowels removed, occurs only once in the whole Hebrew Bible, about what we would expect. Okay, then we need to think about the probabilities for what we're going to find in the context of this word. Once we found our long prime code word, say 6 to 8 letters, which is going to be displayed vertically in one of Drosnin's charts, what size code words can we expect to find in this vicinity? Well, if we have a context of 700 letters, then our typical cluster words will have 4 letters or less. If our context is 1,400 letters, then the chance of any particular combination appearing will be 4 times larger than that. It's twice as long, 2 times squared is 4, okay? In general, we can find the minimum text length in which to expect to commonly find words of length n by solving our equation for t with n equals 1 and a equals 22. You remember that equation. N equals, capital N, equals t squared divided by a to the nth. Okay, so we We set N equal 1, set A at 22, and solve for T, etc. And then this is what we get as our chart. How much text do we need to expect to find a search word of a given length? Well, for a word length of 3 letters, we should be able in general to find that in a text length of only 103 letters. For a word length of 4 letters, we need a text length of about 484 letters. Word length of 5 letters, we need a text length of about 2,270 letters. Word length 6, about 10,687. 7 letters, 49,943. 8-letter length, 234,256. That's almost exactly the length of the book of Genesis. 9, 1,098, 758, which is longer than the length of the Old Testament. Now, back in our Gettysburg Address, notice in our example there, which is going to get fairly similar numbers since we've got a 21-letter alphabet, most of the code words we displayed were 4 letters in length, LNCN, GNRL, BRHM, the largest sorts of words one would find in a text of length 700. We could have shown many more 3-letter words, but we only chose to display GMD. That would have to do with human manipulation, what you choose to display of your smaller ones. We'll come back to this later when we discuss human manipulation. We did, however, find 2 even longer words, Civil War, CDLWR, and Battlefield, BTTL, FLD. In general, one can expect to find some longer words. Perhaps for 5-letter search words, 1 and 8 would be successful in the text the size of the Gettysburg Address. But both of our longer words came from the regular uncoded text. And this, of course, as I mentioned before, is how Drosnin gets Assassin Who Will Assassinate 11 letters from the text of Deuteronomy 4:2. Of course, we can expect to get long, meaningful phrases from the regular text. We could have expanded our battlefield to Great Battlefield of That War, of the War, I think it is. No, it's That War. Yeah, Great Battlefield of That War, which occurs right there in that context of the Gettysburg Address. That would be 16 letters with the vowels removed. Drosnin's results. If we go through the examples found by Drosnin in his Bible code, we can tabulate his best results by word or phrase length. We find that he locates 9 8-letter combinations, 6 9-letter, and 1 each of 10, 11, 12, and 13 letters. He could no doubt have found more of probably any of these if he'd been looking for some other things. Here's what his results look like. 8-letter words, remember these are in Hebrew and with vowels removed, but I'm translating them into English. Atomic artilleryman, communism, economic collapse, Libyan artillery, Oklahoma, Shoemaker Levy, 25 July 1996, and World War, and Yitzhak Rabin. 9-letter, Einstein, his name is Timothy, Holocaust of Israel, Murrah Building, the next war, Prime Minister Netanyahu. 10 letters, just one example, Atomic Holocaust. 11-letter, President Kennedy to die. 12-letter, Captivity of Toledano. And 13-letter, Armageddon, Assad, Holocaust. We would expect, given the length of the Old Testament, that one could find virtually any 8-letter word desired, or at least some synonym. It should also contain lots of 9-letter words, since the text of the Old Testament is 952,000 letters, and this is over 90% of the length needed for 9-letter words to be very common. 10-letter and longer words or phrases will be much rarer, but there would also be many more word combinations, with enough searching some are bound to turn up. And we don't know for sure how much searching Drosnin and his colleagues did. There was a problem, which we can see at this point, and it relates to something we said earlier. At this point, it's possible to see a real problem with the idea that this Bible code is the work of God, or even the work of a very clever human author. Such an author constructing a text from scratch ought to be able to insert a meaningful coded text of nearly any length. Try it yourself. I did. Here's my attempted code. This is my text. Many that cover a story with the media will admit that they like spin. Good tales at time lend a real wallop to making a moral. About this time, it seems a fearful shame. Easier events can never just work that way. As we show what the tale is about, we'll bend details to set the story in that world if we want to. A little clumsy, perhaps, but this text conceals the first two lines of Mary Had a Little Lamb, 41 letters, at a spacing of 6, and a plain text of 246 letters, and with only about 2 hours of my work. So the problem is this. In the Bible code, the longest coded words or phrases, not counting regular text, or the same with the words redivided, are Captivity of Toledano, 12 letters, and Armageddon, Assad, Holocaust, 13 letters. Getting long words in the regular text, of course, is child's play. Drosnin's longest examples are To Shut Up the Words and Seal the Book Till the End, 24 letters, but straight out of Daniel 12. And The Writing of God Engraved on Tablets, 21 letters, but right out of Exodus 32. It seems like the text, a text the length of the Bible will supply virtually any 8-letter word you wish in the form of code, many 9-letter combinations, and of course long stretches of regular text, and a few longer coded words. Thus the phenomena of the Bible code do not appear to be out of the range of chance. So we then turn to the next topic, human manipulation. The presentations by Drosnin and company, however, are not fully explained by chance. They are also excellent illustrations of intelligent design at work, namely the designing intelligences of these men. So think about manipulation. Comparing to the tables above, we see that for the Old Testament, 952,000 letters, or even the Pentateuch, 234,500 letters, finding code words of 8 letters will not be difficult, which should be common around 234,000 letters. Shorter words will be more common. For instance, 7-letter words or phrases will be 22 times more common. That is just multiplied by the number of letters in the Hebrew alphabet. And 6-letter words will be 22 squared more common, 484 times more common. 5-letter words will be 22 to the cube more common, 10,648 times more common. So, it should not be surprising, then, that by astute selection of data, an investigator should be able to assemble what we might call a constellation of these phrases that are striking fulfillments regarding persons or events in the past. So you get your primary code word and you have it aligned vertically in your diagram, and then you look around in the 700 to 1500 words in its context that would show up on a chart, and you pick out the ones that the shorter words that would seem to be striking fulfillments. For persons or events in the future, though, the results will be no better than any other human prognosticator. Why? Because the manipulator doesn't know the future either. So, astute selection of data, an investigator can assemble a constellation of these phrases of striking fulfillments regarding persons or events in the past. But for persons or events in the future, results are really no better than anyone can do who can't predict the future. Well, that leads us to Drosnin's dilemma. Is it God Almighty that has done this Bible code? God Almighty would be necessary to get all the stuff right, Drosnin finds, if it was put there designedly centuries ago. But God would not make all the mistakes that turn up when Drosnin tries to decode the future from these same texts. Now let's go back to our Gettysburg Address example. In our previous examination of Lincoln's speech, we displayed no prophecy. But suppose we do a search on Booth and Grant, BTH and GRNT. We find 10 matches for Grant. We use one of those, and we find 63 matches for Booth, BTH, and use 3 of those. And we find 4 matches found for Lincoln, or Lincoln spelled backwards. And if we use another one of those, so we're using 2 of the 4 for Lincoln, and 3 of the 63 for Booth, and 1 of the 10 for Grant, we get the following picture. Gettysburg Address and Civil War Prophecy. Well, there's our Gettysburg Address again laid out with the 66 line length. And there's Lincoln. Booth's name appears above and behind Lincoln. There it is right there. Just as he did in Ford's Theater that fateful night. That fateful night. Lincoln is shot and falls prone. Just like that, huh? Booth, jumping from the box, falls awkwardly to the stage, breaks an ankle, as I recall, and then Booth escapes from the scene. The outcome of the war is also predicted. On the left, Grant and Lee are crossed, with Lee and his forces declining and Grant remaining on the level, reminding us of the war of attrition that went on at the siege of Petersburg. Is this all in the Gettysburg Address? Yes, in the sense that all the letters are there and the location shown. But of course, all of Shakespeare is in Webster's Dictionary. The locating of the words, their assembly and presentation, is my work, Human Manipulation. So, what can we say in conclusion? We've provided a brief tour of Lincoln's Gettysburg Address and the statistics for word matching, both here in the address and in the Hebrew text, the Old Testament. It appears that nothing particularly unusual has been found in the alleged Bible code that cannot be explained by common probability and human manipulation. Certainly, the level of prediction in the Bible code would be impressive if it were the work of an ancient human. It would be about right for a modern interpreter, and rather lousy for the God who knows the end from the beginning and will do all his purposes. I conclude that there's no reason to believe that God is hidden such material in the Bible. It appears to me that if we put a great deal of trust in this sort of material, we'll be led away from the details and standards of biblical prophecy into the very divergent details and standards of occult prophecy. That would be a fearful thing. It would be an example of rejecting God's living water to dig for ourselves cisterns that will hold no water. May God protect us from this error. For further reading, I suggest Randall Ingermanson, Who Wrote the Bible Code. Ingermanson has produced an excellent book that examines this whole phenomenon from a different perspective, looking at how the distinctive patterns in Hebrew syntax, basically the frequency of two-letter and three-letter combinations, evaporate when you look for spaced code words and phrases. And that then suggests that there is no substantial coded text anywhere in the Hebrew Bible. It could at most be these little words and phrases, which we've already shown statistically are of no account. Well, that's the end of our talk. I hope it has proved helpful to you in thinking through this whole phenomenon of the Bible code.